I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Yeah, so I'm not a dancer, but in order to get through to the singing calls or whatever, you had to dance. And I'm wearing these jazz shoes that are basically rubber. And then the dance floor is basically rubber, right? Because it's the, like, in the back of a theater somewhere. This isn't like a dance studio, right? And I don't know how to turn and where to put my body weight and all that stuff, but I was giving her, because I was like, I'm going to be in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
So, and then I did this like twist thing, and then my kneecap went to the other side of my leg. Like, it like dislocated kneecap. I don't know, but it like popped out and went to the other side of my leg. So then when I went to like kick my other leg forward, it just didn't move. So I fell, and I was like, what happened? And I looked down, I don't have a kneecap. And I was like, what is going on? And
everybody's
like, oh my God, stop.
World, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in the industry, and I make them share a couple bad audition stories with me. If you're not following the show on social media, check out the show notes for links to that. You can also check out our Patreon so you can see these interviews in video format. Today on the show, we have a fantastic actor. You may remember him from the Hallmark film Boyfriends of Christmas Past. He was on Sex Life, Star Trek. He is currently starring in the brand new Netflix series Glamorous, which is out today, June 22nd. Here is my conversation with Graham Parkhurst. And welcome to the show, Graham.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I'm super excited to talk to you today. You got some really cool things happening, which is really fun. But the first thing I always love to start with is asking you why you wanted to become an actor.
Oh, boy. That can get too existential, I think. But I think that changes over the years. why I wanted to be an actor when I was younger. I just had all this pent up energy.
Yeah.
I didn't really know how to use it. You know, the rest of my family, they're like low key, don't want to be part of it at all. I don't know. I remember watching Home Alone when I was like 2 or 3 years old, and I was like, oh yeah, like I'm going to be Kevin McAllister.
Nice.
Yeah. But then, you know, it's changed over the years. Sometimes when I've wanted to quit, I was like, wait a minute, I'm not good at anything else. So that's why I want to be an actor, because like, I got to stick to it. I got to see what happens, you know?
I get it. I feel like it's that way for a lot of artists. You're like in it, and then you're like, wait a second, I don't actually have any other skills. I have to do this.
No. Well, I can do like a million different things. If you've ever, I'm sure everybody works side jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
For like 10 years, I had so many different side jobs. And I remember being like, if I just stuck to that, like that I could do it easily, right? But then I was like, you know what? I might as well just put my time and energy into this thing and see what happens, you know?
Yeah. I love that you brought up that Home Alone was such like a pinnacle experience for you as a child. I mean, I feel like, you know, we all have that like one performance that we watched when we were a kid that we were like, man, I want to do that. You know, for me, it was Kate Winslet in Titanic. I was like, yeah, that's me. Ugh. I want to do that.
What about the Parent Trap? Remember the Parent Trap?
Oh, Parent Trap was brilliant. I mean, my God, yeah. It was great to watch that. And you were just like, can I do that too?
Yeah, but I actually have a twin brother. So I remember we were watching this when I was younger, and I would be like, oh, wow, we could totally do this. Like, no, we can't. But like, it was so funny. We watched that show or that movie. My dad had maybe 10 VHS tapes at his house.
Yeah.
And so we just like recycled through all of them over and over and over in the middle of the country. So I pretty much know every line of that movie. But I just remember watching that and being like, how lucky, you know, to get to play like that, to be in a movie like that. Yeah.
Oh my God, you have a twin brother. So is he in the arts as well, or did he follow a more traditional career path?
Oh God, no. He wants nothing to do with it. I remember somebody asked me a question like, what's his name? I was like, nah, I can't.
Nope, not even saying it.
I'm not going to give the name away. I don't want anybody searching him because he will kill me. So like, we'll let him do his thing. I'll do my thing. Yeah. You know?
That's very cool. So you grew up in, where did you grow up? You said you were in the country a lot.
Well, so my parents divorced when I was like two. So I don't remember them being together at all, but my dad grew up kind of in the country. And my mom grew up in a small city. Mm. So we were kind of raised in both. We had Belleville, Ontario and Bancroft, Ontario. Belleville, I mean, it was a big city when I was a kid, but
right.
I think it's got like, I don't know, 45,000. But when you're a kid and you're in the city,
you feel like that's a lot.
It was huge. And then my dad was in the country. So that was like, you know, four-wheelers, fishing, camping, and it was a completely different lifestyle than what we had in Belleville, but
That's really interesting. I feel like that's a really cool tool that you were given as an actor, because now you know both of those lifestyles and you're able to adapt in different characters.
I don't know, when it's come in useful to be like, oh, I know how to split wood. I know how to create, you know, fire. I know how to go camping or whatever, right? So, like, I kind of, not that I'm amazing at all of it, but I have a ton of little skills here and there.
Yeah.
So then when I do get auditions for like, rugged whatever, and I'm like, wait, I know who that is. Like, mm-hmm. I can relate to that, you know? So it's definitely been good to be like, oh, I know how to go fishing. Like, I know how to fish.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You're not just standing there trying to throw a line and being like, I don't know.
Yeah, just pretending.
What this
Though
is.
I would pretend to do a lot of other things, you know, but it's nice when you see something, you're like, oh yeah, I've done that. I can do that. That's easy, you know.
And you live in Toronto now, is that correct?
Yes, I live right downtown in Toronto.
Wow. So what was this journey like for you to become a person who moves to Toronto, who pursues a career? How did you find your footing?
Oh, have I even found it yet? I don't know. I went to growing up, even in Belleville, there was no connection to the arts, really.
Hmm.
So like I would join community theater, and then I would do like Kiwanis Club, which is like singing competitions, and then like in high school, I would do theater because that was the only connection we had. Like we never heard of agents. We never heard of any of that kind of stuff. Then I remember auditioning for this school in Oakville. It's like a specialized musical theater school. And my teacher in high school, who was so supportive and everything, was just like, that's where the big boys play. So like, don't get your heart broken, you know, if you don't get in, don't be upset. And I was just kind of like, ah, damn, you know, and then I did it. And then I got in, which was shocking to me. And then, yeah, after that, the kind of next move was to move to Toronto after school. And, yeah, I've been here ever since. However, I did musical theater for about 9 years professionally. So I've been all over Canada and the States. And then, I don't know. The pandemic screwed me up.
But I know. Time doesn't even exist anymore.
Film and TV. And I was like, I've always wanted to do this. I never knew what the path was to do it. Mm. But so then I just kind of like studied and tried everything I could, failed everywhere. And then kind of just fell into my groove the last couple of years, I would say. Mm. But it takes a while, I would say, in film and TV, as I'm sure you know. It's like, it never, theater, it's like, if you're good enough and they'll hire you, right? If you're the best for the role, they'll hire you. And film and TV, it's like, pay your dues for 300 years and then maybe we'll give you a chance, you know? And you're like, ah, okay, here we go.
That's so true. I want to talk to you a little bit about your musical theater experience, because it's quite interesting to have someone on the show who has done tours. I think it's such a wild lifestyle for people who don't realize how intense it is. And I wonder if you could share maybe a little bit about that and what the hardest production was that you toured with.
I only toured one. The other ones I would like, they would hire you and then fly you to wherever you need to be, but you would do the show there for the 3 to 6 months or whatever. Right. But the one tour I did, they called it the Broadway tour of Godspell. But I think they just wanted to hire Canadians because we were cheaper, you know. So we got all like the costumes and all that stuff from the Broadway show. But we were all like, "Yeah, Broadway tour! Like we're doing it. We're the thing," you know. I was younger when it happened too, so it was all very, very exciting. And staying in hotels every night, I loved. Like everybody else hated it, I loved it. Like, you're not stuck anywhere. You know, my ADHD mind was just like, oh, I never have to just be stuck, you know? But you really miss your family. Sometimes like, oh, we don't have a break because of traffic. So you're jumping off the bus into the show and you're like, holy, never quite that bad. But it's like, it's by the end, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, like, It's fun. Have you toured before? Have you toured
a show? I haven't done a tour. I mean, I've done musical theater and I've done you know, regional stuff, but I've never done a tour. And it just seems so intense.
It is intense, and not only that, like you've only got the one group of people, right? And so you become a family, but within families there's conflict, and you know what I mean? So one day you're on top of the world, the next day like everybody is gossiping about somebody and everybody's a bad guy at some point. And you get to know everyone as if they're your family. But it's life changing. It was a life changing experience. You know, like I'm still really close friends with a couple of them too. Like, we talk on a daily basis. We help each other with self-tapes for film and TV roles. So one of the best experiences of my life, but also one of the most intense, the funniest stories. Can I tell you a funny story?
Please.
Okay. So we were in Houston? Yeah, we were in Houston. Okay. And we all went out to like the strip of the bars one night, right? And we weren't really drinking that much, but because you're doing the show, you're not eating enough and all that stuff. One night it was so bad, but I was under the influence, I would say. And I went back to my hotel and I ordered a bunch of like food, like chicken, candy. I went down to like, and I just bought it all, but I don't remember. And I woke up the next morning and I rolled over and there was barbecue sauce all over me. And a chicken strip stuck on my back, clearly because I've been sleeping on it for 8 hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think that was I think that was the funniest thing that's ever happened to me. And I was like, it was horror to me because I was like, these guys are going to have to clean this. And they're going to be like, what happened? Like, what did this guy do? But I fully remember and like imprinted like chicken strip.
Oh my God. On my back.
Anyway, that's a fun
wow,
story.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Very good one. I just can't even. And like you
barbecue
said,
sauce everywhere.
The poor
maids.
Looked
like a murder scene.
I was going to say, the poor maids went in there and called the police immediately.
Yeah. And I went down and I was like, the next day, I'm like, hi, would you mind like cleaning the bed in room, whatever it was? And they're like, sure. By the time you get home from the show, like it'll be done. I got home from the show and it's just still barbecue sauce everywhere. I was like, oh no, I had to go back down and be like, hi, can you please like clean it? I don't think I can sleep in the condition it is. So I actually stood there while the maid came in and changed everything. And I'm just like, oh no.
Oh my God, the horror. I can't. Oh,
so
Jesus.
Funny.
Well, you mentioned that the pandemic kind of helped you shift into film and TV. I'm wondering what it was like for you. I mean, do you remember like the first time that you were on a bigger set and you were like, wow, this is really happening, here we are?
What was it? I think it was Titans. It was like a smaller role, like a day player or whatever, but I just remember showing up and everything was so like military because COVID was kind of fresh.
Yeah.
And you didn't get to talk to anybody. Like you were thrown into your trailer and you had to wear a mask everywhere. And, everybody thought I was an extra because like I was just thrown everywhere. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, you have lines. Come on over. And I'm like, and like, it's chaos. Right. And,
yeah.
And there's drivers driving 10 different people. And I it was outside too, in the middle of winter.
Mm.
So like that was a point in, during COVID that I was like, oh, the industry's changed. Like
yeah.
It's very, very different now. And thankfully we're coming out of that now. But after that, I was like, okay, it's a different world. We got to kind of get used to it, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of different things that are going to stay, right? I mean, I think that like people aren't going to be so lenient with even just like catering, like don't scoop your own food. Don't, have bowls of M&Ms sitting there where everybody puts their hands into it. I think it's just there's going to be like certain things that will stick post panorama.
Like everything panorama. Yeah. Like everything was kind of like portioned off into like those little sauce little containers. Top. Right.
Yeah.
There's no more communal food at all. Like everything you order and then they bring it to you in your trailer. Even like visiting set. Right.
Yeah.
It used to be a thing and it's not anymore. You kind of have to do it on your own. However, they did lift the screening ban here now, or the screening here. I don't know about LA, but you don't have to test for COVID every day now. So maybe that's lifted and people can visit, but they're still pretty strict now, I think.
Yeah,
in terms of who.
We got rid of the return to work agreement as well. It's over, so we don't have to test for anything, which is nice, but also, I don't know. I just feel like
scary.
It's a little scary, right? Like you're still going to be like, wait a second, should I test? I think that like most productions now are saying like, we'll have tests ready for you in case you're feeling sick and you want to take one. But it's definitely interesting to watch, this new era arise. How is it in Canada with auditions? Are you guys back in rooms at all yet, or is it still all self-tape?
Yeah, we're not back in room at all. Not in Toronto anyway. Truthfully, I don't. I would be so bad back in the room. I don't know how to do it anymore, right? So, like, I'm happy that I get to do a tape a few times and not just like once and then screw it up and then never get hired again,
Yeah.
So for me, I prefer the self-tape route, but I know a lot of actors, especially if they were super successful before the pandemic, really like to go in and make that connection with the casting director and build from there. But personally, I don't ever want to go back in. You know, I'm good.
I would like make a compromise and say if I could do like a Zoom audition, then I'd be fine. Because I think what I've missed is the ability to ask questions and get to know more, get more information from it. Like I have somebody that I follow on Instagram recently post something about how they had to do a self-tape for something. And, you know, all this information was missing from the character that you could have asked within the room. And then the show comes out and they see it. And it's like they realize the character was a sex worker and it wasn't in any of the lines. Yeah. And you're like, wait a second, my performance would have been so much different.
That is key. I would say like callbacks, do those live if you can now.
Yeah.
Do it on Zoom. Mm-hmm. That way you can do all of that. But yeah, I've had an issue. I've had similar issues where you don't get any breakdown at all. Right. Mm-hmm. Then I'm playing like a cocky version of this character when all of a sudden they're like this meek, shy, and you're like, oh,
that was completely off base.
And you read it and it could go either way. You know, we have big imaginations as actors. So you read a script, you can literally turn it into whatever.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe not everything, but so to have to like narrow in on like one kind of solid character can be really hard sometimes, especially when there's no communication.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
And back to the show. Which leads me to, I love asking actors what their personal process is with breaking down characters for an audition. Is, do you have like certain things that you always abide by? Is it a case-by-case scenario? How do you do it?
I don't really know. It's a tough question. I would say that, I mean, obviously bringing elements of myself to every single character. I can read a character now and be like, you know what? Somebody can do this better than me and understand. So with that, I'll take the liberty to go crazy with it, right? Because they're not going to hire me for this role. I know that. So then I'll just go and show something completely off the wall, like, and then see what happens kind of thing, right? But I guess in terms of process, and here's another thing. You spend days and hours and weeks on some auditions, right? And like you pour your whole heart and soul into them. And then you get like, oh my God, that was great. Nothing. And then even Glamorous, I think my first audition, I canceled. And then I was like, somebody else called me and they're like, hey, are you doing this audition? I said, no, I canceled it because I have to jump on a train to a wedding in 3 hours. And they were like, I think you should do it. So then I literally spent 45 minutes on it and that's all. Never came up with anything. And then look where we are, you know? So it just, it's hard, right? When you invest so much time in ones and in some of them and then nothing, and then you barely look at the script in others and then it's like, wow, you booked.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think there's like a fine line between like, you know, not having enough information and spending enough time with it, but then also spending too much time with it and getting too attached and then putting all of your eggs in that basket and then being extremely disappointed when it doesn't work out for you.
You can be, it's heartbroken.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you learn that though. I'm old now. I'm not going to say how old, but like I'm old. So I've gotten so used to it that it doesn't really affect me at all anymore. Yeah. I'll get like bummed. But I remember in my 20s, I'm still in my 20s. I remember in my early 20s.
I remember a few years ago.
Last week, actually.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, it's so heartbreaking. Like, just, it crushed you. And you really have to be a strong person, right? Mm-hmm. And even when you're a strong person sometimes, it's like, if you don't hear anything for a long enough time, it's crushing, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, you brought up Glamorous, so let's talk about this. It's a brand new series on Netflix starring Kim Cattrall. And tell me what that audition process was like, but also tell me about the show and your character, and I just want to know everything. I'm so excited.
Sure, yeah. I'll start with the audition process. So like I said, I canceled it. Well, canceled it and then decided to do it. And then I submitted it and I was like, I will never be brought back in by this casting director ever again. I don't have time to care right now. So like, I was like, I'm done. I'll never be hired. It's fine, whatever. And then I went to a wedding and then I actually went to Italy. So last year we were in Italy. So you know what you do in Italy? You eat, right? So like,
eat and drink pasta wine. And
pizza and wine everywhere, right? And I'm sitting on this patio and then I'm like wanting to work. So I text my agent talking about like this like four liner that I auditioned for. And I was like, hey, did you hear about this one yet? Cause that one was really good. And she was like, no, but I heard from Glamorous. And I was like going through my phone. I'm like, which one's Glamorous? And because a series regular on a Netflix show, CBS produced, I was like, it's not going to happen anyway. Right. Not with my short history in film and TV. Right. And I looked up, I was like, no way. And then I looked it up, I was like, oh, he's going to have to be shirtless a lot. And I'm sitting there with a pizza in my mouth. And I was like, ooh, okay, you know, in Italy. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, oh, and your callback's in like 5 days. And I was like, oh, cool, over Zoom. I'm like, what time? Ended up being like 9 p.m. in Italy. And what is it, 3 or 4? I don't know. But in LA, and I was in Venice when the day that the callback happened, in this like really, really bad hotel. Like it was very sketchy. yellow walls, like no light, that didn't look like it was in a horror film.
Oh my God.
And we didn't bring any lights, right? We just got backpacks because we're doing Italy. And then about to do this audition, and there's no light, so my face is just flat against this yellow background. And I'm like, this is not meant for me. It's not supposed to happen, right? So then did the audition like 20 minutes later. My agent was like, hey, they really like you. You have a chemistry read next Monday. I was like, what? Like, how? why did they like me? but then, yeah, this is a long story. And then I got the final chemistry read was a week from that audition, which was the day after we got back from Italy.
Oh my God.
However, our flights got delayed, right? And then we got stuck in Montreal and they didn't have anything, like our plane left from Montreal to Toronto without any of the passengers on it. So like I had 3 hours of sleep by the time I got home, and like, I'm not a very mean or confrontational person, but I remember like twitching. My eye was twitching. I'm sitting at the desk. I'm like, hi, we need to get me home because I can't, I'm not doing this call back in the airport, you know?
Yeah.
This chemistry read the airport. So I slept 3 hours, got up, and then did the audition, and the rest is history. The final callback or the chemistry read, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Now about Glamour. So basically, it follows the storyline of a queer wannabe makeup artist, makeup influencer named Marco, who finds himself in the corporate world of makeup, working under Madeline Addison, who is played by Kim Cattrall, of course, at Glamorous by Madeline. It's really fun. Like, the show is really, really fun. I kind of come in and cause a little bit of drama, a little bit of chaos.
Hey. But,
yeah, I mean, that's what you got to do, right? That's what you got to do. So basically, myself and Marco, we have this kind of random encounter, which then turns into a game of cat and mouse.
Mm.
And, yeah. That's all I'll say.
The trailer feels very like The Devil Wears Prada meets Gossip Girl, and I am living
Ugly
for
Betty.
It.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Here's the thing. The trailer doesn't show much.
Like, right.
I was pretty shocked because it's very good. Like, it tells exactly what it needs. The trailer is exactly what it needs to be. However, like, there are some incredible characters that don't even make an appearance in the trailer, and so I'm really, really excited for people to actually watch because it's not necessarily what you just see in the trailer. I mean, nothing is, but like, there's so much more to it than what's in the trailer.
So. Oh, so exciting! What was it like for you to be a series regular for the first time? How was that experience?
Wild. I just, truthfully, I didn't think as a Canadian actor that opportunities like this don't really happen. Mm. I mean, any actor, I guess, like these are really hard to book. Obviously, being in Canada where it filmed, in Toronto where it filmed, I had a better chance, I guess. I don't know, but it was amazing. Having your own trailer,
yeah.
Like having access to food all the time. And like, when you walk on set, you're not like a prop where, you know, you're kind of used to that being a guest star or whatever in other TV shows. But like, everybody knows your name. They're so attentive, and whether it's real or not, I loved it. You know, I'm just sitting here like, it was to see my headshot on the wall when you walk in, and as part of the main cast, you're like, wow, like, I did a thing, you know, and I forever grateful. I think hopefully it kicks off a pretty stellar career. I miss it. Like, I still miss it. I miss the cast. They're all incredible people. And for a first experience in such a large role to get to work with such amazing people, I really, really lucked out. I really lucked out.
Oh, that's so exciting. I cannot wait to watch it. And I hope you guys get a season 2 as well. Well, on the show, we like to share bad or embarrassing or auditions of the ones that got away. And I know you've shared a couple stories already, but do you have any other stories you'd like to share with the listeners?
Where do we start? Okay. I'll give you one fun one. Okay. Do you know the musical Chicago, obviously?
Of course.
Yeah. So I'm not a dancer, but in order to get through to the singing calls or whatever, you had to dance. And I'm wearing these jazz shoes that are basically rubber. And then the dance floor is basically rubber, right? Because it's in the back of a theater somewhere. This isn't like a dance studio, right? And I don't know how to turn and where to put my body weight and all that stuff, but I was giving her because I was like, I'm going to be in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
So, and then I did this like twist thing, and then my kneecap went to the other side of my leg. Like it like dislocated kneecap. I don't know, but it like popped out and went to the other side of my leg. So then when I went to like kick my other leg forward, it just didn't move. So I fell and I was like, what happened? And I looked down, I don't have a kneecap. And I was like, what is going on?
Oh,
and everybody's like, oh my God, stop. Everybody's rushing out. All the dancers standing along the hallway. I'm still sitting here being like, what just happened? I don't know what happened. Right. And then people are like treating me as if like, I just died. Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, let me help you. I'm like, I'm fine. Like, I don't feel anything, but like, what is going on? Cause it's a state of shock. Right. And then, oh my God, it's so embarrassing. And then they have to call the ambulance and they have to pull in this stretcher, right? And I'm talking like 50, 60 people standing out in the hallway, like kind of looking in, like being like, oh, is he okay? Is he okay? Half the people being like, yes, like I have a better chance, right? And you're sitting there being like, oh my God, you know? First of all, I wasn't going to book it anyway, but then to ruin my leg for it. and then they bring in this stretcher and the guy goes, did you try popping it back in? I was like, no. He's like, well, the longer you leave it like popped out like that, the longer the healing time. And I was like, then why didn't you come faster? Like, we called you so long ago, right? So then they popped it back in, put me on the stretcher, and I'm rolling out literally, and all these people just standing, being like, oh, like I hope you're okay. And I'm just like beet red, embarrassed. Like it doesn't hurt or anything. And I was just like, hey, like these guys, like enjoy your dance call, like have fun, like the most
the I worst, am but also shocked.
That's just the beginning. Like my life is crazy, so maybe I just attract that kind of energy.
Yeah, you attract the chaos.
I attract the chaos, but once you find comfort in it, you know,
it's great. Wow. I can't even imagine. And also, like, I feel like, you know, other dancers should have known to pop your knee back in, right? Like, they were out to get you by not doing it.
Those they were sketchy. They were like, we're going to ruin him. We don't want him doing any more theater because we want the job. I get it.
Yeah.
I got a list. If you're listening, I got a list.
We have a list here.
I don't have a list. I don't have a list at all. But I just, it was awful. And then I had another show like 6 weeks later that I had to start. No, it was 3 weeks later. It was like just after. And I called the director. I was like, hey, like, I don't think I could do the show. And she was like, why? I was like, I popped my kneecap. Like I'm in a brace right now. And she was like, I don't care. Just be funny. I was like, okay.
Oh, wow. Heck yeah. Love her.
Yeah, same. Yeah, she's been brilliant for me. But
amazing.
Yeah,
well, that was a fantastic story. Truly top notch. Great one.
Yeah, to relive that one, it was so long. That was like 10, 12, 13 years ago. 12. I don't know.
When you were 12, right? When you were 12?
When I was 12. Yeah. When I was 12.
It was a children's production of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
Totally. That makes sense.
Oh my God. Well, I've had such a great time talking to you. I'm so excited for Glamorous. How can people follow you on social media to stay up to date with all your stuff?
I'm only on Instagram and it is at Grammy Cardiff, GrammyCardiff. And that's all I got because Facebook, Twitter is too much for me. I don't have the time.
I get it. Yeah. Well, thank you again for coming on. It has been so fun, and I hope you guys get another season of Glamorous, and I hope it all goes super, super well.
Thanks a lot. It was nice chatting with you.
Thanks again to Graham. Make sure to check out Glamorous on Netflix now. Tune in next week for another fun conversation with my friend Chris Mulkey. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.